you to turn to Matthew chapter 18 and Psalms chapter 103. Matthew chapter 18 and Psalms chapter 103. I always like to have you turn to at least two passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. If you bring your Bibles, your smartphones, however you get there, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 18 and Psalms 103 and some other scriptures in between there. And the title of this message today is Overcome Unforgiveness. Overcome Unforgiveness. I'm going to tell you one of the things as a pastor that I get asked a lot is, Pastor Mark, how do I forgive that? Or how do I overcome that? How do, you know, this was done to me. How do I walk in forgiveness towards that? Over the years that I've been in ministry and pastoral ministry, I get this question asked a lot, and of me. And not only of me, but I'm like, I'm with you guys too. I'm having to walk in it myself. Walk in love, walk in forgiveness. What does that look like? How do you do it? Well, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, in and of ourselves, we can't do it. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to walk that out. And where this message came from this week, I thought I was going to do a whole other message today, but where this message came from this week is I heard a story from some dear friends of ours that are actually in ministry, and I didn't know their full story. I knew a little bit of it, but they kind of shared a little bit more of their story, and I was just blown away that they're able to walk in forgiveness. I mean, I heard a story of all stories, one of them kind of things. And this couple that we know that are dear friends of ours, they are in ministry. God uses them powerfully. And after I found out about this story, I was like, Lord, how do they do it? How do they even do that? And the Lord said, Mark, with me, all things are possible. And so I don't have the liberty to share their story this morning. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know a story that's worse than yours this morning, whatever you're going through. And I'm here to tell you that with God, all things are possible. You can walk in forgiveness no matter what's been done to you. Amen? You really can. And so we're going to go through this morning, and I'm going to try to show you some things. Guys, my clicker's not working for some reason. 1 John 5, verse 4 is where, just to get you your faith built up this morning as we jump into this. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Everybody say, our faith. It takes faith to walk in forgiveness. It's not feelings. It takes faith. Now the feelings will come. Sometimes the feeling, I don't know, I'm just going to say this right now. Sometimes the feelings never come. All right, so quit waiting on the feelings to catch up with your faith. Sometimes you just got to walk by faith, okay? I'm going to go ahead and say that right off the bat. But we are not called to cope. We are called to conquer and overcome, all right? So here's the main question regarding forgiveness. What is my motive? So we're going to get down to the heart issue this morning. If your honest response is God's glory and the good of everyone involved, then your heart is right, all right? No matter what's been done to you, what's been said, whatever, if you're really in your heart of hearts, you're saying, God, I want to do this. I want to walk in forgiveness because I'm responding to your glory, and I want the good of everyone involved, not only myself but everyone around me. Because if you're walking in unforgiveness, not only does it affect you, but it affects everybody else around you, all right? You spill that poison out on everybody around you. But if your motive is revenge or vindication, then it's likely based in unforgiveness. All right? So we're trying to, today, whenever I was praying this morning, I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, Mark, I'm not just wanting to nudge the grudge today. I'm wanting to budge the grudge out of people's lives. So look at somebody and say, he's budging the grudge today out of your life. He don't want to just nudge it. Because a lot of times when we hear a message on unforgiveness, you get that little nudge from the Holy Spirit. It's like, that right there is what I want to talk to you about. And he nudges it, and then you don't let him come in there and do anything with it. And God's saying, I not only do I want to nudge it, but I want to budge it this morning, not budge it. He wants to budge it out of your heart, all right? And everybody said, all right, I'm going to give you some forms of unforgiveness. And when I start reading through these, I want to say this right here. There is no condemnation in this house this morning. Every one of us in here have carried grudges. I don't care how spiritual, how godly you are. Every one of us in here has carried grudges before. How many of you are good at carrying them? I'm good. I'm going to have to say I can carry a bunch of them, all right, and load them up and go to bed with them and nurse them and rehearse them and all that kind of stuff, all right? And God's saying, Mark, budge them out of your life. Get them out. Get them out. So here's forms of unforgiveness. In your heart, you have revenge, which there that murder, violence, abuse. You might be saying, golly, this is, boy, that's really hard. Well, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. God's been telling me, has told me several times, Mark, you need to get rid of your go to hell list. Can I be just frank and honest with you this morning? Because he said, you don't want to wish that upon anybody. You don't want to wish that upon your worst enemy. Get rid of that list that's in your life. Get rid of the hate. Get rid of the verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is when we sit around and we slander, gossip, sarcasm, labeling, name-calling. All right? Divorce. No condemnation in this house because there's some people here that's been through divorce. All right? But you can walk in unforgiveness when you go through divorce. And some people can walk in unforgiveness for their whole life from divorce. God don't want you to do that. Rejection and avoidance for punishment's sake. How many of you ever done the silent treatment on your spouse? Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah. It don't last long. All right? Because she won't let me go to bed angry. She'll always look at me because I can hold a grudge. And I can turn the back at night, and I can be cold. All right? Yeah. I see elbows flying out here in couples. And Jada, she always uses scripture on me. And she has a way of making me laugh, and she'll look at me and she'll go, "Sun's going down," and I'm like, "Shut up, quit using scripture on me." And she has this little way of saying, she does her head like, "Sun's going down," and I was like, "The sun can go down in the west, and it's going to come up in the east tomorrow, and I'm still going to be mad at you, right?" I've said that before, and then God, you know, through her, she's Holy Spirit Junior in my life, gets a hold of me and said, "No, Mark, you need to release this, okay?" Withholding good. Transference of affection. Well, I'm just going to love this other child better than you. Okay, yeah, none of that goes on around here, does it? All right, it's all through the Word of God. That's what, we won't go there this morning. I'm just giving you a nutshell of what we can walk in unforgiveness about. Prejudice, bigotry, racism, or sexism, bitterness, internally wishing for bad things to happen to someone. Oh my gosh, here's the last one, praying against someone. Here's the deal, and when you're doing that, I'm going to tell you what that is. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft in the church. And it's amazing how many people do that. We walk around and we're wishing internally for bad things to happen to someone. We're praying against someone. That's witchcraft, guys. That's bottom line. That's what it is. We don't want that. And everybody said, all right, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read this parable. If you've been around church any length of time, most of you have heard this story, the parable of the unforgiving servant that Jesus teaches his disciples, and he's going to teach it to us today. And it says this, "Then Peter came to him and said," and I love Peter because Peter's always trying to get one up on all the other disciples and letting all the other disciples know that I'm ahead of you, I'm walking better with God than you are. And he says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" So Peter's already patting himself on the back, right? And he's looking around at the other disciples. I hope you're seeing this picture. "And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." And that means eternity right there. Verse 23 says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came out and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he pay all that he was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart, everybody say from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And who said that was Jesus. Now, shocking story. You know, that was a shocking parable, a teaching to his disciples. Because Peter was trying to say, I can do it up to seven times. And Jesus was like, no, up to 70 times seven. Basically, you need to walk in forgiveness for all of eternity. Now, I'm going to give you three. We're going to go through this. Pastorally, I'm going to teach you some things about forgiveness today that I pray that's going to help you in your walk with God. Because every one of us face this, and some of us face it on a daily basis. Okay? Three shocking truths concerning unforgiveness that Jesus just said in this parable. And here's number one. It is shocking how seriously God takes the issue of unforgiveness. It shocks me how serious he is about it. Listen, the last verse. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. One of this, and we're not going to turn there, but you might want to write this down, but in Luke chapter 17, most of you have heard this scripture, and I think it's in verse 5 of Luke 17. And sometimes I've even taken it out of context and just said, we're in Luke 17, verse 5, it says, and the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. And when you go and read that in context, it's exactly with this parable. And he says, in verse 3, he says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And after Jesus said that to his disciples, they said in verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And what he's basically saying, it takes faith to walk in forgiveness. It's not feelings. It takes faith to walk in forgiveness. And Jesus said, if you just give me a little bit of that mustard seed of faith, I can work with that. If you're just saying, Lord, and with me, I don't want anything. This is, and I'm not saying I'm perfect in it, guys, but I have to get to the point where I'm saying, God, I don't want to block anything of the flow of God in my life. That's a fear of God that I have. That's a healthy fear of God. So because of that, I choose to walk in forgiveness. But I do it by faith, not by feelings. And so, and the Lord says, if I can just have that little bit of faith that you have like a mustard seed, I can work with that and help you walk in forgiveness. With God, all things are possible. Here's the scripture Jada uses on me all the time. So ladies, here's a scripture you can use with your husband if he's a grudge holder. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Okay? It's not just the sun going down. I'm giving place to the devil when I walk in anger, when I walk in unforgiveness. Matthew 6, verse 15, showing you how seriously the Lord takes it. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We got to do it by faith. Here's the other thing about unforgiveness. It is shocking how petty unforgiveness seems from God's perspective. When you look at it from an eternal perspective, it's petty. It's petty, some of the relationships and families of what's causing the unforgiveness. It's petty when you get right down to it. And as a pastor, I'm going to tell you, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, hope you know that, is as a pastor, when it becomes evident to a family that they've walked in unforgiveness and all of it was petty, is at a funeral. That's when it happens. Here's the deal. Don't let a funeral, okay, don't let a funeral make that awareness to you. Do it now. Walk in forgiveness now. Yeah, or emotions. Walk in forgiveness now. Because in this story, you know, he's talking in denarii and all that kind of stuff. And I just put it, I looked it up, and I put it in our vernacular today. Here's Pastor Mark translation, the redneck translation. It's like God forgiving you of $3 billion, and then you go try to get somebody to pay you $10,000. See the difference? Okay. It's shocking how petty unforgiveness seems from God's perspective. So release it. No matter what's been done to you, what's been said, release it. It's not worth it. And everybody said, amen. All right, number three. It is shocking how different we are from God regarding forgiveness. God, our old flesh rises up, and like Janice said, our emotions, and my gosh, we can hold grudges, and we can just, you know, we can just, and who it's hurting is us. And then it hurts everybody else around us that's in relationship with us and the ones that are most close to us. And this is Psalms 103 where I told you to turn. I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. It says, the Lord, I want you to listen about the Lord, who he is. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Aren't you thankful for that? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows that in of ourselves we can't do it. We need his help to walk in forgiveness. So now I'm going to give you a few things. If you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to give you a few things, understanding what the meaning of forgiveness is, but also what unforgiveness is not, okay? Here's what the understanding of the meaning of forgiveness. Number one, it's permanently forgiving all debt and bringing the balance to zero, okay? And then we're going back to the parable. It's not temporarily forgiving all debt and bringing the balance to zero. It is permanently. Everybody say permanently. Permanently forgiving all debt and bringing the balance to zero. Here's number two. Permanently forfeiting the right of reproach. I'm not going to get back at them. I'm not going to do unto them as they did unto me kind of thing. I'm permanently forfeiting my right to do that. Permanently, not temporarily. That passive. How many can be passive aggressive? I can too. I'll forgive you right now, but wait here in about a month. I'll get you back. Yeah. Okay. Here's number three. Permanently foregoing all expressions of private and public judgment. So I'm not going to jump on social media and start posting about what they did to me. Oh, wow. Man, I'm telling you what, social media has opened up a whole new world. And sometimes I just sit there and scroll and just read the comments and eat my popcorn and laugh. Right? How many of you do that? Yeah, I know you do. I know everybody does in here. But here's the deal. We cannot go there, guys. And I've had to repent of that at times. You know, they're walking in unforgiveness towards one another right there. Look what's going on in this family. I mean, people just air out all their baggage on social media. So permanently foregoing all expressions of private and public judgment. And everybody said, okay. Is everybody learning something this morning? All right, here's understanding what forgiveness does not mean. And I wanted to put this in here because as a pastor, I've had to learn this myself. I've had to teach other people this too, because I had somebody, and I learned this early on in ministry. I had somebody that they were a Miss Fix-It, and how many of you are Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It, okay? I can be that way too. And they wanted to walk in forgiveness so bad with somebody that they kept going back to this person, and they kept getting beat up, and they kept getting beat up. And they kept getting beat up. And every time, and they were saying, well, I'm trying to walk in forgiveness towards them, and I'm going to them, and I'm trying to make things right. And I'm like, is it working? No, it's not working. And I was like, okay, you have forgiven them from your heart. They haven't. Yeah, it's beautiful when there's the two-way street and it's beautiful when there's total reconciliation, but sometimes it's not going to happen. So you've got to forgive them from your heart and move on. Instead of quit going back and getting beat up. And this person kept going back and getting beat up and beat up and beat up. And she came to me and asked me about this, and I just said, stop doing that. It's not going to happen. And she was like, but God, you know, God's telling me that I'm not walking in forgiveness. I was like, yes, you are. You're showing by your heart that you're walking in forgiveness. But God don't want you to keep going back and getting beat up every time. Stop it. That's not forgiveness, guys. And a lot of time we think, and you know, I've had this talk with Mark. Mark and I talked about it this week. I'm like, you know, we think as Christians that we're supposed to be a doormat. No, you're not. You're not supposed to be a doormat. God didn't cause you. Jesus wasn't a doormat, but he walked in forgiveness. The religious people threw something his way. He just spoke the truth to him in love and moved on. And everybody said, amen. So this is what forgiveness does not mean. Forgiveness does not mean I lose the right of self-protection. Here's another thing, a beautiful thing that you can do. You can block people's phone numbers. And I've had to do that, guys, because I had somebody keep beating me up, keep beating me up, keep beating me up, and I kept forgiving them, and I kept forgiving them, and I kept forgiving them. And finally, one day, I said, enough is enough. I don't need to take this. I mean, I love this person. I choose to walk in forgiveness towards them, but I'm blocking their number because I don't need to read their texts. They're angry texts all the time. It's a block. It takes me a lot for me to, you know, and we want to be gracious with people, but guys, forgiveness does not mean I lose the right of self-protection. Because what that was doing whenever I was constantly reading this person's text that was upset with me, it was making me upset. And then you know what I did? I would come home and take it out on Jada in our relationship. And she was like, why are you, and Jada would go, why are you such, so, I see couples looking at each other across the room now. And Jada would look at me and say, why are you such on edge right now? And I was like, well, it's because so-and-so texted me earlier today, you know. And she's like, well, I'm not so-and-so, you know. And I'm like, well, I'm still thinking about so-and-so. She's like, well, stop thinking about so-and-so. Block his number. So block, I did. And life has been so much better since then. Okay? So forgiveness does not mean I lose the right of self-protection. Everybody understand that? I hope that helps somebody this morning. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you out as sheep. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God, Jesus there himself, what he's basically saying, guys, protect yourself. Protect yourself. Here's number two. Forgiveness does not mean I have no basis for confrontation. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells believers to speak the truth in love. That's where Mark and I had this conversation this week about, and he was telling me a situation that he was dealing with, and I said, Mark, I'm proud of you because you didn't let that person make you a doormat in that situation. Amen? And he was still Christ-like in that process. But he was just letting a person know, you're not going to treat me like that. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Number three, forgiveness does not mean there should not be punishment or consequences. Sometimes there's, you know, there's forgiveness, but there's still going to be punishment and consequences based on the laws of the land, whatever people are going through. You know, God forgives you, but you may have to go to prison for what you did. You know, and you may have been, it may be a life situation. God forgives you, but there's still going to be punishment and consequences. And then the last one, the forgiveness does not mean I cannot seek legal or police protection. Sometimes you have to do that. Okay? So those are some things of what forgiveness does not mean. And here's a place where I wanted to get to, how to forgive from the heart today, because that's what we're talking about when Jesus said in the parable, from the heart, and I had you repeat that. And here's number one, what you have to remember whenever I'm walking in forgiveness and things are being done to me, and I'm wanting to retaliate, I'm wanting to get revenge, I'm wanting to get over in the flesh and all this, what we have to realize how to forgive from the heart is, number one, our sins cost Jesus his life. Then number two, and I know it says one, that's supposed to be two there, not a 1-1, but number two, God loves, we have to remember this, God loves our offenders as much as he loves us. Okay, you got to remember that. And then number three, we need to permanently release debt in judgment, just like Jesus did over us. In Romans 12, verses 17 through 19, it says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, I love how the Apostle Paul said it, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Can I be honest with you? There's been times when I know this scripture, and I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm giving it to you, but when are you going to get them? Anybody ever done that? You know, and I'm just waiting on you, God, to get them. You know, and yeah, God, I'm going to sit back and watch. I'm going to eat my popcorn and watch you get them for me. And God's like, Mark, it's just like the sons of thunder. Mark, you don't know what spirit you're of when you're acting like that. You need to walk in forgiveness. You're waiting for me to call down fire from heaven on them. Yeah, and you're wanting to watch, eating your popcorn on the sidelines. Just being honest with you this morning. And he's saying, Mark, you do not know what spirit you're of. That's not Christ-like. Okay? So, okay, here's number four. We bless and pray for our enemies. And I got a funny one to tell you on this one. We bless and pray for our enemies. Luke 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Jesus said that. Blessing our enemy forces forgiveness from our heads to our hearts. Okay? Now, I know this is easier said than done, right? And one day I was arguing with God over this scripture because somebody had done me wrong and I was mad. Oh, I was mad. And I said, God, you know, I was thinking about this scripture. And I said, Lord, you said, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. You go, God, I can't even pray right now. My thoughts about this person aren't even good right now. And God says, Mark, say bless. I said, bless. And he said, you know why I made it say bless like that? Because you can say bless with gritted teeth. And that he goes, and here's the deal. And he said, that's a start. It came out, you got to start somewhere. That's a start. There's your mustard seed, God. If you can just bless with gritted teeth, then God's got something to work with. Amen? So that's the truth. That's the word of God. So he gave us a word to be able to say even with gritted teeth. And then that's your mustard seed. And when you release that, it's going from your head to your heart. You may not feel it. That's okay. We're not doing this based on feelings. We're doing this based on faith. And everybody said, amen. Here's number five. We resist the devil. When you walk in forgiveness, you're resisting the devil. When you walk in forgiveness, you're saying, first of all, I'm submitting myself to God, and then you're resisting the devil at the same time. Revelation 12, verse 10 calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. Forgiveness, when you're walking in forgiveness, I think it's the height of. We talk about prayer, and prayer is part of spiritual warfare and all those things, but I think when you're walking, when you're truly trying to walk in love and forgiveness, that is the height of spiritual warfare. And I'm going to give you some, with that, with me saying that, and I've said this through this whole message here this morning, but there's a practical spiritual warfare is this. What I've been talking about. What Jada tells me, don't go to bed angry. Deal with the offenses and hurts every day. Deal with them immediately. Don't let it, you know, if you can't deal with it immediately, just don't go to bed with it. Amen? Talk about it. You know, talk with your spouse about it. Deal with it. Don't take up another person's offenses. Amen? How many of you ever like to share offenses? I've done that. I've done that with my dad before. I'll call dad up. Dad, guess what this family member did to me? And then dad gets ticked off. He wasn't even thinking about this person before I called him. Yeah, now he is, you know. And so we're both mad. And dad's sharing with him. Then I'll call Matt. Matt, guess what they did to me? You know, and then Matt's upset, right? So now I've got my little offense party. And we're going to go whoop up on somebody. And what I've done is just destroyed everybody's spiritual lives. And let the enemy come in and just wreak havoc. That's what I've done. I've just opened the door to the enemy. We're not resisting the devil. We're welcome. We're just saying, come on. You know, we're giving him a foothold. So We got to stop doing that. I've done that. And there's been times I'm tempted during the day. I got to call Jade on that one, you know. And he's like, Mark, she don't need to hear that right now. You know, maybe later y'all can talk it out before you go to bed. Yeah, I'll deal with it for you. But she don't need to deal with that right now. Here's the deal. Some of us that are married in here, and I'm talking to spouses, sometimes you need to wait to talk about it. Amen. I'm not saying that you don't need to talk about it, but they don't need to know every little bitty thing you're going through. Because who picks up offenses more than anybody of something I'm going through is my wife when I share them with her. So be a man and learn how to deal with them yourself. I'm not saying you don't talk about it with somebody and all that. I'm here for you too. I'm your pastor. I'll talk with you about it. I'm not going to get on your bandwagon with you if you call me. You're not going to call me up and say, Pastor, guess what? I'm offended. Help me out. We're not going to do that. Amen? And so quit sharing your offenses. All right. Don't rehearse and nurse hurts. All right, man, I can sit there and rehearse and nurse hurts. And then, because what happens, guys, is when you do that, God gave you something called your imagination and your thought processes. And when you're doing that, you're giving your mind to the enemy. And I'm telling you what, he is good at making up all kinds of scenarios in your mind. So don't rehearse and nurse hurts. Reverse hurts by forgiving, blessing, and loving your enemies. Don't justify unforgiveness, self-pity, or bitterness. So here's some of the takeaways from today. I hope you're just a few takeaways. The poison of unforgiveness damages the vessel it is stored in. Forgiveness does not make the offender right. It just makes you free. And forgiveness is one of the most self-loving things that you will ever do for yourself. Is everybody going to walk in forgiveness today? Does this help anybody today? Okay, good. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to pray a prayer over us. But then I'm also going to pray the prayer of salvation here in just a second. But I'm going to pray this prayer over this morning. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us today to forgive and bless rather than relive and stress. And Lord, we are lifting up any bitterness to you today or accumulated offenses that we may have. We're lifting all these up to you today. And Father, we are going to release these offenses, this bitterness, this resentment. We're going to release all that junk into your hands. We may have done it before. God, we're going to do it again. God, some of us need to do it every day. God, but we, by faith, Lord, we release it into your hands. And we know, God, if we just show that mustard seed of faith, that you're going to come in and help us walk in forgiveness and walk in love towards others. And so, God, I thank you that, Lord, I just feel like there's people releasing that bondage today, and they're going to walk out of here freer today. They're going to walk out of here lighter today in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice or those that are watching online this morning, if they don't know you, if they've never accepted forgiveness through the name of Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Lord, I want the honor and the privilege of leading them in a prayer because Romans chapter 10 says that when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. So even if you are saved this morning and you know it, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. I want everyone here to repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer or the time that you prayed that prayer a minute, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday. Would love to be able to do that for you. Maybe you've never been water baptized, and I encourage you to do that. But everybody learn something today? Help you? Okay, good. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. Jada, will you come up here? And we're going to speak a blessing over you. I hope you guys will go to the school play today if you don't have anything going on this afternoon. And support our kids up there. We got a lot of our kids are in it. So I'm going to speak this blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I forgive you. I forgive you too, babe.